Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 626, and this is probably going to sound weird. I got weird settings going on, weird ass shit. It's I've been trying to cope, trying to deal. Shit's gonna sound a lot different. I got a way different soundboard here, and I'm not really sure I'm a fan of it. Which sucks because I've been wanting to get this actual soundboard for quite a long time, and I don't know the effects on it. I'm not totally digging. I feel like maybe I could have researched other boards and maybe been better off. Really, I've been wanting a different soundboard that would fit on my desk much nicer. I don't currently have it on the desk. I still have it on the table to the side. But I could go with a smaller table. Or, I mean, I could fit it on this desk if I took some shit off it. I've got some clutter going on. And I didn't bother taking that off. I got this over at Micro Center last week. I also upgraded my RAM. I got a RAM injection. I doubled my RAM. Like, fisted it, you know? Just got made a much bigger hole inside there. Went from 16 gig to 32. I think it's going to help my PC, too. It's so far playing COD. Playing the old Call of Duty. It's worked out much better. I haven't had, since I've got it all straightened out, I had to go into the BIOS and change some shit so I could run at the full speed that I needed for the RAM. I had to fuck around with some shit and to get that working. Again, I apologize for the weird, this may sound weird. I was fucking around with this for a while with recording to see it, to try and get like good sound quality. I think it sounded all right-ish, I guess. Going on the playback, it sounds a little weird in my cans right now. Listen to it that way. I ended up having to take off. There's a noise gate on this fucker. And I took the noise gate off because it's just too fucking weird because it cuts the audio so much. I tried fucking around with all the settings. And it wasn't happening. Anyway... the RAM situation. Man, I about had a panic attack with the RAM. I was pretty sure. I pulled up the manual online to my specific motherboard because I wanted to make sure I got the right RAM. I've never personally changed my RAM before. Installed new sticks of RAM. So I was like, you know, I know that, I could potentially put the wrong stuff in there. I also knew that, if you go with different brands and different speeds, like combining them, like had I left the former two sticks of RAM in there, that there was a good chance that they weren't going to work together. And, from what I understand, if you go with, you know, one brand or one stick of RAM that's slower than the other, it's going to go with the slower stick. So I just went ahead and bought two different sticks of RAM and swapped them out with the other ones that were in there. So as not to give myself any issues, because a lot of times they don't mix well together. Sometimes apparently you can. I don't know how it works. I just know that you're better off if you're going to get different RAM. Swap them completely out. So I didn't even like try to fuck around with that. I don't know the name of the RAM that I bought, but I got it at Micro Center. I had to get DDR4 RAM. Because that is what my motherboard could handle. That was just what she could deal with. The old mother, the old board. It's not saying on trying to pull up my shiznet here, and I don't remember how I found that before on the I guess it's G Skill. This is the producer of the RAM. I don't have the box in front of me, but it was like the Royal series, I believe, because we'll never be royals, you know. Lord, is I'm doing a horrible job singing. Anyway, I did. Maybe I can find it in here. What the exact? I don't think it actually. Maybe it'll say in here. Anyway. The brand is unimportant, and the is specific RAM. The former RAM that I had in there had like a speed of like 3,000. What 3,000? What I don't know. RAM speed. I've learned a little bit about programming, but as far as like hardware is concerned, I don't know what hard is. Anyway. Yeah, so I got with the one with the 3600 speed, and so it upped it a little bit. And of course, I doubled my size of RAM. That was the big important part. I needed a double size of the RAM because I was having crashing issues when playing Call of Duty, specifically zombies. It did a little bit playing like Warzone and multiplayer. Mainly, it was zombies. Going back and seeing how much RAM was used, I didn't do it on zombies, but doing just regular like multiplayer, it was pretty much the full 16. It was 15 something gig. So I'm going to venture to guess there was at times it was just maxing out in RAM usage, causing the crashing, I would assume was part of the issue. And also I was having, you know, web browsers and stuff open on other screens. I got three screens going, so it's having to think a lot and fucking it all up. But yeah, when I initially put the RAM in, I did go through the PC and I cleaned out the fans, tried to clean those out really good. I first blew it, gave it a good blow job with my blower that I also bought at Microset, or I don't know, quite a while back. But then I took some Q-tips and some denatured alcohol and, well, I guess rubbing alcohol, isopropyl, I think. And, I went in there and, I really scraped out some shit of those fans. So I wanted it to stay cool, man. Stay cool. Stay cool, pony boy. And, I did a pretty good job, I think. I could have taken the fans apart, you know, but I didn't go that far. I didn't go that deep, you know. Only went fucking wrist deep. I didn't go all the way to my elbow. anyway. Yeah, I put the new RAM in there, which it's got this really cool look to it. It looks like shards of crystal. Like on the outside, but it's not like so the piece that you would say grab while pushing it in, you know, inserting it in to the hole is not flat, which is kind of a problem, but it looks cool. It looks like it's got, you know, this crystal like look, shards to it, that has, you know, LEDs that light up, but, which I think like most RAM now has like LEDs in it. That's just kind of a thing. But which is kind of nice, because as soon as you turn it on, you know whether or not the shit's working. If it's not lighting up, it's not working. Either you got the wrong type of RAM in there for your motherboard, or, you know, perhaps your power supply isn't strong enough to fucking power it. Then again, I am not a fucking pro at any of this. That's from what I understand. There could be other issues. But I plugged them in. I put both sticks in. I took out the old, put the new ones in, and it did not fire up. I turned it on, and no lights. No lights. Nothing happened. Well, I mean, I guess there was other lights that turned on the PC, but I ended up having to kill the power without any, you know, I couldn't get the BIOS or anything to come up. And so I was like, oh, fuck. Did I buy the wrong fucking RAM? But it was all on sale, too. I got a good deal, and it was like $100 for 32 gigs of RAM of the DDR4 3600 speed. It was recently, I guess, upwards of like 145, 150, something of that nature. And the original price tag on there was like, I don't know, fucking close to $300. But I'm thinking that was probably a few years ago. So, you know, but that stuff, you know, they put out new shit pretty often. And then that drives down the price of the old shit, of course. So this isn't like brand new stuff. My motherboard can't handle that. Anyway. So, yeah, I was like pretty sure. I didn't ask. I thought about when I was there. I was like, ooh, maybe they've got plenty of people working at Micro Center. I could simply just, you know, hey, this is my motherboard. Is this shit going to work? I'm sure they probably could have helped me with that. But being the pig-headed man that I am, the dipshit that I am, I don't need that. I think I can do a Google search and find this stuff out on my own. Thank you very much. I can diagnose myself. Thanks, WebMD. Which, you know, kind of defeats the purpose of me going to a brick-and-mortar store if I'm not going to bother to ask for their help, but I felt like I didn't need it. The plus to me to buying this RAM at a brick-and-mortar store is I could walk there out of there day of and have it in the palm of my hand, and I did. Also walked out with the soundboard, but that's neither here nor there. Back to inserting the RAM. Yeah, it didn't fire up the first time around. I was like, oh, fuck me. That's not cool. And I'm, you know, trying to troubleshoot, like, okay, is it the wrong RAM? Is it bad RAM? Like, how do I find out here? So I unplug the new RAM. I go ahead and just plug the old RAM back in just to see, to get it to work. And I'm like, okay, it's fine. Everything's firing up. I didn't fucking fry the computer. We're good there. It's not completely on the fritz. So I felt like, okay, well, actually, when I fired it up, only one of the sticks of RAM lit up. So I was down to 8 gigs of RAM. And that was a sign of like, oh, well, you know what? I probably just didn't fucking push it in all the way. You know, I'm just not able to penetrate deep enough, which I'm sure is a problem for many men. Many men just can't go deep enough. And so I was like, all right, well, I think I got it. Well, I'm going to keep, I'm not going to just go, oh, I'm defeated already. I got to keep going. And then, so I went and I stuck both stick, or I guess maybe I just tried one. And then I, one stick of the new RAM, took out the old back out, put the new stuff back in. And just like, I think I watched a YouTube video too. I'd watched before changing out the RAM to make sure that I, you know, I was buying the right shit and everything, but I was like, let's just watch a video again, see if I am fucking missing something here. But it didn't seem like I was really missing anything. It just seemed like I just couldn't fucking get it in, you know, couldn't get it in all the way. That's what I was assuming and hoping was the case. Those crystals were just making it hard to shove in there. And so the second time around of sticking in, shoving the new RAM in, I got it deep. I got it so deep. I got so deep inside that computer's motherboard that it fired up when I turned it on. Both sticks of RAM lit up. And it was a thing of beauty. It was magical. I looked at the PC right in its eyes. Say, blue on its ear. Well, that's kind of how. No, that doesn't work out. I'm doing the math on what I just said. It's kind of hard to look something in the eyes as you're blowing in its ear. I was going to try. Yeah, none of that worked. None of that worked. I apologize. Anyway, it fired up and everything appeared to be working. I had it set at the 3000 speed because that's just what it was set with the old RAM. I tried You know, I went through and saw how much RAM it was using and was doing like 16 or whatever when I was doing like Call of Duty. But I knew I wasn't getting the full speed. I was just getting the 3000. So I was like, I wanted to get max out the speed. So I, again, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I had to look up how to run BIOS and all that. And I got in there and I changed, there's a, like a manual thing where you could change the specific speed. I tried that, but then it started having crashing issues. And then I took talking to my buddy Pee-wee at work. And well, actually, I watched some videos, too. There was a combination of the two. But he was telling me he thought what the specific feature was I wanted to needed to go in BIOS. The AI, it was like AI or AL tweaker, whatever. I'm assuming it's AI. Overclocker or something like that. I think it's tweaker on this one. There's different things on BIOS called different names. But I'm going to say that there's a XMP thing that you can change that makes it to where you can overclock your RAM, get the higher speeds. And that wasn't in this specific BIOS. I believe it depends on what processor you have. I could be wrong on that. But this specific one that I have, it was like the, instead of XMP, it's like DOCP or something, OCP, Omni Consumer Products. Yeah, that's what it was. yeah, anyway, I switched that around to turn that on, whatever. And, bada bing, bada boom. Holy shit. It hasn't crashed since. And I'm getting the higher speeds, getting the speeds that it should be getting out of that RAM, which is pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. I was first concerned I fucked up altogether and I was going to have to go return that RAM and get something I could actually use, or I wasn't going to be able to fully utilize the magic of the higher speed. But so far, so good since changing all that. That was, I don't know, fucking Monday, I guess. I finally got this shit figured out. But the soundboard, yeah, I got the Rodecaster Pro 2, which sort of simplifies things for podcasting. I feel like my other board, my Behringer, I don't know the model type. That I've had for, I don't know, probably close to 10 years at this point. We'd been doing the podcast, I think, for just a couple of years by the time I got that board. The original Behringer I had, Jackman had given me. And that one bit the dust. It just smoked up and was like, you know what, I'm done. But the other one, I mean, runs good. I'd need to get some cleaner to clean out some of the pots. They're a little dirty, and you don't want the dirty pots. I mean, it's still a solid soundboard. It's got way too many channels for what I need it for. So it's rather large. But it can do a lot of shit. It's a little complicated. You know, it's a, but I mean, it's complicated and it's not. There's, you know, setting things up. It's got some compression on. You can turn a little compression. It's got a little knob for it. Everything's got a knob, which I like. I love that. You just slap some gain on, turn a knob. Everything's just turning up. The Rodecaster Pro has got a couple of knobs, but basically everything's ran off the LCD display on the front of this thing. And you know, I'm so on this Rodecaster Pro too. I mean, I still love the old board. I'm a fan of it. But there's some features on the Rodecaster Pro 2 that are kind of nice. It's got buttons on it, which these days I don't really use like sound bites that much, but I do play like the intro music. Usually, you know, on the other board, I'm running Jazzler Show, the cart rotation program that I used to use in radio. And I would play it on the PC. Well, I play it on my laptop because of... I play it on my PC and record on the PC. It creates some background noise that sounds awful. So I run a laptop with Jazzler and play shit off there. And it typically sounds better, but now I've got stuff I can play directly from the soundboard. It saves some audio files in there, and I can just do, like, let's see here.
Homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Oh, that kind of cut it off weird at the beginning. Hold on.
We're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
We're not homosexuals, but we're willing to learn. My favorite Harold Ramis line. I had to put that in there. What do we got here? Here, it's
I do karate and get girls pregnant.
That's right. Tracy Morgan doing karate and getting girls pregnant. But there's ones that come with it. There, I was saddened that there wasn't like a bigger sound library with it. Like, I feel like the Rode and looking at their, they have apps you can get on your phone and whatnot, and they're just not that involved. You can hook this thing straight to the internet, the soundboard, via Wi-Fi, and from what I understand, the reviews say, like, don't do that. It'll fuck it up. It's all buggy. There's a lot of stuff that's buggy about it. So I avoided doing that. But there's a couple of, you know, sound effects, like, it comes with, like a mega fail. There's, it's kind of nice. I was kind of dicking around playing Call of Duty with my Can-Am fellas, my bro skis. Just, you know, playing sound effects. I feel like, though, like, knowing what I know about the other soundboard, I have no, and what I would like to have in a soundboard, like, I feel like I need to just, you know, make my own, although I have no idea how to do that. I want, like, as someone that has podcasted for well over a decade, not very successful out of it, you know, not making any money, but I know what podcasters need, you know, and would really like to have. So I think, you know, like, I don't even want to say what the ideas would be, but I'd have ideas for what I would want in my soundboard. Anywho, and I feel like, too, with these soundboards, especially, I mean, they get pretty fucking pricey. They should come with some audio editing software. They do not. At least this one doesn't. Maybe there's other ones that do. I do need to get something other than Audacity. I used Cool Edit Pro for years. I don't have a copy of that anymore. I should probably just get an old... I mean, it's so good a program. Like, you don't need to fucking update it either. It's like, God damn it. I should probably just go back and get Cool Edit Pro again. It always pissed me off with the Adobe, Audition. I guess that's the name of their audio. It's been a while since I've used Adobe shit, since I went to, like, Broadcast Center. But once upon a time, you could just buy Adobe software, of course, and you had the product. You had pay a one-time fee, and you got the shit. Whereas nowadays you have to do a monthly subscription, and I'm glad I never bought that monthly subscription, because I recently heard about a lawsuit against Adobe. Because to use their software, again, you got to have a monthly subscription on this shit to use all their software. You stop paying, and then all of a sudden you can't use the fucking software. But also, there's some... The lawsuit, I don't have any of this pulled up. From what I understand... they have some way, like, it's, you have to pay like a good chunk of like a year's subscription, basically, if you cancel and stuff, and they make it really fucking hard to cancel. Really hard to cancel. So I'm glad I never went down the Adobe road. Though I had used Audition, when I was at Broadcast Center and stuff many years ago. Many years ago. This was 2009. Well over a decade ago. This was pre them charging a subscription. Anyway, I've kind of looked into like some other software I can get. Reaper sounds like a maybe. I wish, you know, I just had a Mac so I could just run GarageBand, but I don't have. I have an old Mac, but not anything I'd want to pull out to record with. I mean, I guess I could, but it'd be a real pain in the ass. Real pain in the ass. It is a mini Mac from like 2004. I think when I got it, 2004, 2005-ish. It was a long time ago. This is an old thing. I loved that fucking computer, though. I loved that computer. Anyway, the Rodecaster Pro 2, I mean, it's got a lot of inboard effects for the mics, which I'm not real crazy about. Like, the noise gate's cool that it gets out, the background noise. I'm thinking maybe you can hear the children screaming outside, the playing and whatnot, and the other stuff. Had I had the noise gate on, you can get rid of that. You can get rid of that. I don't think you probably hear that too well. I can hear it, but I'm hoping it's just me hearing it, not so much through the microphone, but, you know, just for the fact that I probably need to put, you know, new windows up in this bitch. But anyway, that's going to be real pricey. I'm still thinking probably not going with new windows. I still need to get a roof estimate, so, you know, we'll see. I'm not in a real big rush on getting that stuff, because I know it's going to be pricey. I was kind of hoping work would die down before I got, like, the roof redone and stuff and had a little bit less overtime, but we shall see. Hopefully Labor Day weekend I'll do some small repairs around the penthouse here, and looking to repaint my garage door and replacing the seal on that. Maybe do some painting inside, replace some drywall, perhaps. We shall see. Anyway. Yeah. So, the soundboard, though. Yeah. There's pluses and minuses. I mean, it is kind of nice to just have the theme song and stuff loaded up in the board already, to where I don't have to run the laptop. And I can just hit that. Also, I can Bluetooth my phone to the board without running a cord. And it sounds a lot better than running a cord. A lot of times, you know, I can get a short in the cord, or if the pot's dirty, which I guess could probably eventually, I'll eventually run into that issue here. I have to clean the pot out. Clean your pot out, you know? Clean your pot out. Anyway. I mean, there's definitely pluses and minuses. I'm just not used to it. It's just kind of weird to me so far. I had another Behringer. I believe I still have it. But it basically burnt out on me. It was a small one. It only ran, like, I think you only run two mics on it. But it felt real nice on my desk. I think the main problem with that one is it did not have a power switch. You just plug it in and then it's immediately powered. To turn the power off, you have to unplug it. It's not a very good design, if you ask me. I don't know why it would be so, like, is it that much more expensive to put a power switch on your fucking board? But eventually it just kind of burnt up, man. And like, I could use it for little spurts, and then it would just, like, oh, no, there goes the power. It's fucking up. I was waiting for that one to smoke up. I don't remember if it did or not. It maybe did. I don't think so, though. I think it just, like, would just bite the dust. And I think it was just fucking because power was going through all the goddamn time. It just ended up burning shit. But it was a decent board for a couple years. And I liked having just a small one that fit on my desk and, you know, didn't take up a massive amount of room. That was the big downside to my other board. Also, I thought, you know, maybe if I wanted to record myself playing guitar or whatever, I could just leave the other board in the other room and have that for that. Not that I plan on doing that a whole lot. So I really just like to play the guitar and just play. You know, I'm not creating music. I'm just playing, you know, like Sabbath and Tool and shit. I don't really need recordings of that, per se. Well, at least I've refrained from buying any more guitars for the time being. I'm still waiting on trading in the one. I think that's probably still going to happen. I'm just waiting for a music store near me to get some surplus of the DG335s in stock so I can play it and really decide, like, do I want to trade in? Is this worth it? Is this worth a trade in? I would have to pay a little bit, you know, probably close to, you know, several hundred dollars Depending on how much they would really consider for my trade, and I'm gonna play a couple $100 at least for that, even with a trade in, but wouldn't be terrible. And wouldn't, though I'm kind of like, do I want to get rid of the other guitar? I mean, 8 guitars does seem like a lot. I don't feel like I need 9. Then again, you know. But well, you know, I just, anyway, I'm sure eventually I'll buy more guitars. I just have, once I win that lottery, that'll be the thing. Before the show, I was actually in a completely different. Oh, actually, I was going to mention too. I got a phone call last night. I was expecting to get the sofa with the power reclining. I was expecting to get that at the end of the month. I was thinking it was going to be like Labor Day weekend sort of thing, which I was like, cool. Yeah, I'll do some, maybe fix some shit up, get the sofa and the rug, throw them down, and be ready to just have a couple of buddies over or whatever, you know, watch some fucking movies, actually sit down. Be good to get like a Deadpool Wolverine, like as soon as you're able to get it on the old Amazon, I would imagine would be the best place to get that eventually, because I might have to get that one early. Although I feel kind of like it's not great that I only watched it once so far. I feel like I should have done it at least twice in the theater. I was going to try to go see it again last weekend, but it didn't happen. But I've you know, seen clips of it all the time. And unfortunately, you know, I love the movie. It's fantastic. However, when... Whenever I see these clips and everything, of course, it's the Like a Prayer's in there, which I don't mind so much having that. I mean, I love me some Like a Prayer. But I was never a big NSYNC fan, though I do love me some JT, some Justin Timberlake. I mean, he's bringing sexy back. And, of course, you know, his stuff with The Lonely Island, Mother Lover, I mean, that shit's just outright fantastic. Mother Lover... Fucking three-way golden rule, dick in a box. I mean, just gold, fucking gold. And his solo stuff, Rock Your Body. I mean, I'm not kidding around. I mean, I love me some JT. But NSYNC was never really my thing. Neither was really Backstreet Boys. But I can deal with it better than I can say the Goo Goo Dolls. But it was cool in the movie, and then the whole sequence with him doing the dance from NSYNC and just using Wolverine's skeleton to defeat the TVA peeps, soldiers, what have you. Man, I think that sound was getting weird for a second. Hopefully the board's not crapping out already. Well, at least I got a spare now. Anyway... yeah, I've got the, when I, you know, I've had that fucking song stuck in my head so much at work that, you know, seeing the movie, I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, NSYNC. I'm just like, now, like, the song really bothered me when it was popular, when it first came out, and it was just, you couldn't turn on, like, MTV at the time and not fucking hear that song on TRL. Total Request Live with Carson Daly. Not that I watched that much, but I'm just saying basically any time there was music on MTV, which by that point in time, I guess they was already doing like reality shows and shit by that point. But I would hear you just on the radio and just fucking, that shit was fucking everywhere, man. Fucking everywhere. But yeah, that song is just like, I don't know why. Well, I'll get Jimmy Cro-Magnon. I'll share a video like today before work. I got a video of the Legos doing the intro sequence to Deadpool, which was really cool. But of course, it's got that song in there. Like, so all day at work today. But I guess I can't complain too much, because we had a good day at work, and we made our money. We made our plan. We got our full production bonus for the day. So maybe I just need to embrace the NSYNC. But again, I'd rather just hear JT, man. Give me some JT. Throw on some Andy Samberg. Bring Sexy back. That one he did with Madonna. I think it was him and Madonna that did the 4 minutes to save the world. That one's good. That one's a banger. Straight up fucking banger. Anyway. I digress yet again. I was going to just bring it up. I was like, how the fuck did I get to NSYNC? Now I'm remembering. It's because I was talking about the couch. I'm days away from getting a couch. I'm still nervous about Agent Fox Mulder, which I didn't bring him up at the beginning of this podcast. I don't think I mentioned him. Maybe I did. I don't even know if I said the episode of the podcast. I feel like I came out weird because there was the soundboard issues. And just had a weird intro. I'll fix it next week. Next week, it'll be a different thing. I'm thinking I don't really need, you know, I probably don't need to introduce the show. If you're listening to it, you probably know what you clicked on. Anyway, yeah. So I'm looking forward to having a nice sofa. I can lay down on this thing. I can recline on this thing. It's got chargers for my phone. Not that I really give a shit about that. I mean, I have a phone charger. What the fuck do I really give a shit about whether or not this sofa can charge my phone? It's a bonus. And, you know, if a friend comes over, hey, just charge your phone right there. Just charge it. Just stick it in there. Just stick it in, man. Stick it in. It's a wireless charging port, which, again, I mentioned, I guess, last week, or perhaps before then, about I've had some not-so-great experiences with those, with, like, this desk has the wireless charging port. And I can't even plug this desk anymore because it makes a fucking humming noise that I'm afraid the desk is just going to catch on fire. And I'm like, that doesn't sound good. When you plug things in, it shouldn't hum like that. There shouldn't be a... it's not a fucking tube amp. There shouldn't be a 60-cycle hum. God damn it. So I'm concerned that, you know, the powered buttons might start fucking up, which I guess if that starts fucking up, then I will probably have to get it repaired, which I didn't buy the warranty. It's like another $300 for the fucking warranty. I was like, maybe let's not do that. But if that goes out, I will probably have to get it repaired, son of a bitch, you know? And I don't know how much a repair like that would cost. But the reason I wouldn't give a shit if I couldn't charge my phone in there, but if I can't recline the damn thing, because it is power reclining. I didn't think about that before. As I'm talking now, I'm just thinking about that. I'm like, you know what? The reclining feature does require electricity, I do believe, on this specific sofa. Kind of sad, though. They don't have the LEDs on the bottom. Not that I fucking really need it. I don't know why. I've got LEDs on all kinds of shit. If I really wanted it, I could go and just buy a fucking LED strip and throw it on the bottom of the damn thing. That is an option. Although I don't know how well that would work since, I mean, it reclines. There's not like a board at the bottom that goes straight across underneath that I could really put it on. I guess I could make a board and just put LEDs on there. That would look kind of weird. I'm thinking I'm probably not going to do that. I'll just have to live without having more LEDs. I do have the record player stand right next to it, which has LEDs. If I want some light on there, I'll just turn the record player stand on. The power on that has not fucked up yet. That is an outlet on that. And, well, of course, I'm not down there all the time. Maybe it's humming right now. This place could burn down overnight. because I failed to recognize that the outlet was fucked up on there. I'm thinking not. Hopefully not. But anyway, what I was going to get to before going back into the couch situation is that I was watching a YouTube video. I'm trying to pull up the app. As the YouTuber I was watching was Call Me Chris. That's Chris with a K. Call Me Chris. It was an interesting video. I mean, it was an hour long, so. Or damn near 59 minutes and 20 seconds, and I did watch the whole thing. But I'm a sucker for some true crime, and it was about the Zodiac Killer. The specific video on YouTube was called Did a TikToker Solve the Zodiac Killer Case? Now, I've watched a lot of shit on the Zodiac. I'm not like a, you know, Zodiac Killer aficionado. I'm not like completely down that rabbit hole, but, you know, if I see a good doc on it, I'll be like, or if there's something new, I'll just kind of read about it, like when they solved the cipher. Because he had like four ciphers? I don't remember how many ciphers he had. I believe they've solved them all now. The ciphers, that is. Which for years, there was... I guess early on, one of the ciphers was figured out. but there's... I'm on the ZodiacKillerFacts.com, but this TikToker, I don't know... I don't know the name of the TikToker offhand. It should say in this fucking article. I'm on the website ZodiacKillerFacts.com. Which, I don't know how legit their stuff is. You know, this could be, you get those internet sleuths. Sometimes they have some good shit. Sometimes they think JFK is still alive, you know? And RFK Jr. Or not Jr., JFK Jr. RFK Jr. still alive. Pretty sure. I don't want to start a conspiracy. RFK Jr. is still alive. And I don't know if he's still trying to eat bear cubs and tossing their carcasses in Central Park, but he's still alive as far as we're aware. And if you don't know that story, holy shit, just go on YouTube. Do yourself a favor. Go on YouTube and look up RFK Jr., bear cub. Search that and you'll find some bangers, some good ones. I guess there was a story about that. I'll give a little synopsis of that. apparently the story had come out. He had told somebody, I guess, and the story was going to come out, and so to get ahead of it, he recorded a video with Roseanne. That is Roseanne Barr, the comedian and former TV show personality. That, of course, lost her show due to the fact that there's some shit posting that she did on Twitter. Anyway, of course, he went into a story that, I don't recall the story. Maybe I heard about it, but this was, you know, like 9, 10 years ago or something. I don't remember when it happened. But, of course, in Central Park, they had found a dead bear cub with a bike, like, on top of it, like a bicycle. Like a old bicycle just laying on top of it. No one could figure out what the fuck happened, why there was this dead bear cub, which they're not normally in Central Park. But, of course, there was. But apparently, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was falconing, I believe he was doing. He was falconing, you know, just everyday normal guy stuff, you know. He's out falconing that, you know, every normal person goes and does on the weekends. I guess if you're a Kennedy. But then he saw somebody hit the bear cub with their car and then just drive off, and he's just like, oh, I'm taking this. And apparently he likes roadkill, because he just say in the video, he's like, this is legal. This is totally legal. If it was like a killed in an accident, car accident, you can take the meat and eat it. Totally legal. Which is means to me that he this isn't his first rodeo, that he's done this a few times. Is he just looking for exotic meat? Because, I mean, again, he is a Kennedy. He has money. Like, he can go to some nice places to fucking eat. What the fuck do you need roadkill for? But I get, you know, I've never had bear cub meat. I imagine that you can't just go buy that at a restaurant. So there, I mean, there could be some, like, you know, he knows something that I don't. And again, he does have a brain worm. But anyway, yeah, he put it in his, I believe it was a rental car at that, in the back of the vehicle. Maybe it wasn't a rental car, but he put it in his vehicle. And he went with his friends that I guess he was falconing with to this nice fancy steakhouse, and they ate there. He was planning on eating the bear cub, you know, field dressing it and whatnot, and, you know, making some, I guess, cub steaks. And I guess they stayed at Chris Luger's steakhouse a bit too long. And he realized, like, oh, fuck, I got to catch a flight, but I got this fucking dead cub in the back of this vehicle. I got to get rid of it. It already starting to smell a bit. And so then he decided the best thing to do was to drop it off in Central Park. I was saying, like, you know, go watch the videos, but yet I'm just recapping the whole story. Anyway. He apparently at this time in Central Park, there was a lot of people getting hit by bikers. Like, again, cyclists, I guess you'd say. And, like, dying. And he thought it would be funny. He also had, I guess, an old bike in the vehicle. And, of course, dropped the dead cub off in Central Park and then put the fucking bike on top of it. And I think it was, I don't, it's been a minute since I watched the video, but apparently he was surprised at the fact that it made a big news story. Like, he wasn't expecting that. And it's just so fucking hilarious that, you know, it made a big news story. And people were like, how did this fucking dead bear end up in Central Park? And then, and why is there a bike on top of it? And then the kicker of it all is, you know, this is just some random crazy shit that, you know, you would think that no one that was related to, like, one of the biggest and most powerfulest fucking families in the in American history would be involved in. You wouldn't think, like, you know what? I think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Fucking put that bear there. Like, there's no, like, who had that theory? If I was, you know, doing betting lines in Vegas, like, that would be, like, that would be the big winner, I would think. You know, that would be the one that would make me a fucking millionaire and then some. Whatever the odds would, it would be insane odds. But yet, that is the world we live in. Anyway, back to the Zodiac. There is a TikToker let me see if I can find the fucking name of the TikToker here. It's got to be listed here somewhere. No, it is not. I was thinking in the description for the video I watched that maybe she would have a link to the guy's TikTok or something, or just the name. And no. Anyway. Maybe I should just, I'll just do a quick Google search to find that. Anyway, I was watching this video, and again, I've watched plenty of documentaries and such on the Zodiac, but it's not something I go to sleep at night thinking about. Every once in a while, I mean, if I hear there's some news, like decoding a cipher or something, I'll look it up. I'll go, like, oh, what's going on? Because everybody's like, oh, I know who the real Zodiac is. But, I mean, he's most likely dead at this point. Most likely probably been dead for a while. Whoever the fuck it was. There's the what Alan Lee Cook is the one that or Arthur Lee Cook. I think it's Arthur Lee Cook. Alan, I don't know. I think it's Arthur Lee Cook. That was the one that was a lot of people thought was it like the police actually thought it was. But I don't think it was ever fully proven. But there's a TikToker though that I mean, I watching this video and stuff. I gotta say, it seems like there's some smoke to this fire. I'd have to. I mean, again, I'm not gonna solve this fucking case. I'm just some dude, just a steel worker with a microphone. I have no. I've never even been to California. I definitely wasn't in Vallejo, California during the 60s and have any knowledge of anything that took place in that time frame, whatever. There's some Reddit shit going on. But anyway, this TikToker claims to be the grandson of the Zodiac Killer. His grandfather was this former police officer, Richard Hoffman. I'm trying to find the TikToker's fucking name. And it keeps in all these articles, it just says TikToker. Fucking just tell me the TikToker's name. I guess if you just go on TikTok and look up Zodiac Killer, Richard Hoffman, you can probably find it. Of course, I believe in the Zodiac movie, they just basically say Arthur Lee Allen did it. But it's been several years since I watched it. It was a decent watch. Which, I mean, there's some evidence, circumstantial. I mean, they never fucking proved it. Again, they never proved anybody was the Zodiac Killer. There was a lot of, I would say, circumstantial evidence that would point to Arthur Lee Allen. I don't remember all of it off the top of my brain. I know that he had the Zodiac watch, which doesn't really prove much. I think he had, was it Arthur Lee Allen had like a typewriter that was similar to the one that was the same type that the Zodiac used, which again, this is a day and time when probably most people had a typewriter. I don't know how common that specific typewriter was, but again, circumstantial evidence. Anyway, though, seems like there's some decent stuff. I don't know that there's any way to prove that he was the Zodiac Killer at this point. Here's the TikToker. It's JFOY underscore 3.0. Jafoy underscore 3.0. He's very intense. I'll see if I can't I think I might have to log into fucking TikTok on my shit. I don't want to have to log into my shit. It's probably gonna make me do this. I don't have it.
My grandpa was a Zodiac Killer. Yesterday I posted a video that's now at like 3 million views. Talking about how my grandpa Richard Hoffman was a Zodiac Killer. There's a lot of questions in the comments section. I'm gonna try to address those. I'm also gonna show you guys a few clips from a documentary that includes my grandpa interviewing, acting weird. To my knowledge, it's acting weird for him.
During the ride to the hospital.
Dude is kind of creepy.
And of course her shirt or sweater, whatever she was wearing, was off. And each time that ambulance attendant blew air into her chest, there was a little piece of material from her bra.
I can't get that. How he moved it much.
That I could see. Fluttered with every breath he blew into that girl, this piece of material would flutter.
And then a witness statement from Mike, who was with Darlene Farron the night of the shooting in Blue Rock Springs.
Anyway, the audio is not great on here. The way the
my grandpa was a Zodiac killer. Yesterday I posted a video.
Damn it. He seems pretty confident, but I mean, there's some stuff on. I mean, watching some of the stuff, I mean, it does seem like there's some shit that could very well be more than circumstantial. I mean, there. I mean, again, I don't think that he's got any hardcore evidence. It does seem like the handwriting is very similar. From what I saw, there was again, Richard Hoffman is his grandfather's name. He seeing pictures of him, it does resemble some of that sketch, but I mean that sketch, it's an old sketch. It's pretty vague. It's not it's hard to go off those sketches a lot of times. Anyway, I don't know the name of the victim, but there was a couple, which I believe was mainly couples that the Zodiac killed. Again, it's been a while since I really delved deep into the Zodiac. There's on this Zodiac killerfacts.com, there's a bunch of shit about it over here, but that's hard for me to narrow down what I really needed to see here. There was the victim that the woman, I don't know her name. I unfortunately don't remember her name off the top of my head, but she was in the car with a gentleman that did survive. She died, but as there was somebody coming up to the car with a light, the Zodiac came up to the car with a flashlight, very much like a cop would do to a car, checking in and on, which apparently Richard Hoffman was like on the beat. He was on duty when that happened in an unmarked car in civilian clothes. He wasn't like a regular like patrol officer. He like, well, I guess sort of, not really, but he was like after juveniles and just making sure that they weren't out late, I guess, and just loitering. But he was like in the area of that murder. We know that he was on duty that night. From what I understand, they can prove, I guess, they've got some kind of log. I'm not sure where he got that info from. But apparently he was on duty that night of that, at least that specific murder in that area, and then had claimed that he saw nothing that night, which I guess, I mean, if you're, he saw nothing suspicious. When I murdered those two people, I saw nothing suspicious. It's a funny thing. Well, actually the one survived, so it wasn't two people. Anyway, he's dead now, so I feel like I'm not going to get sued by saying Richard Hoffman is the Zodiac killer. Anyway, so again, his name was Richard, and this the woman that was killed, I wish I would have taken notes earlier. He apparently had met this woman prior. She knew him. I guess she had been seeing a few different people. I don't know if it was a dating situation or if she was. I guess it was like a dating situation. But apparently she had seen Richard Hoffman. But he had claimed, I never knew this. I never saw this woman in real life. Like, this is what he told, I guess, his grandson or maybe somebody, another member of his family, somebody that asked him about it. Because I guess he's in a few documentaries about the shit, or was asked about it. Which that little video clip I was watching, this is from some documentary, and he's talking about some weird shit, talking about watching some guy, some EMS, I guess, try to resuscitate some female, and it looks like he's kind of getting an erection just thinking about this woman's bra as it's like going up and down. A little fucking weird. Anyway, doesn't mean he's a killer. Just means it looks like he's into some sick shit. doesn't mean he's the Zodiac, but it does mean he seems kind of fucking weird, at the very least. But again, yeah, this woman, apparently he had dated, but she was dating other people. And he was not happy to find that out. He went to some party that she was attending. He was not invited. He showed up, I guess, caused a big stink there. And the night of the murders, of that of her murder, they were parked somewhere, I guess, you know, looking to get it on. Then what appeared to be, you know, somebody walking up, I guess was somebody walking up with a flashlight, the Zodiac killer. She apparently had said to the guy in the car, like, oh shit, that's Richard. Not saying the full name, just said, oh shit, that's got to be Richard. He's going to fucking kill both of us. And then, yeah, attempted to do that same very thing, which does seem like some pretty damning fucking evidence. You know, though, again, it still could mean that, I mean, if there's a serial killer out on the loose, not necessarily could just happen to be a bad luck that night. You just happen to be on the Zodiac's in his way. But apparently, yeah, there's some stuff that sounds like, you know, could very well mean the investigation is still open, from what I understand. It still seems, I mean, these murders happened so long ago, it's just hard to imagine that we would ever see 100% proof that this was him. Like, I don't know that we'll, I mean, it'd be cool. I feel like it's more likely that we would get an answer to who the Zodiac was, more likely than, say, Jack the Ripper. That happened so long ago, and all that evidence and everything is so tainted. Although, you know, I mean, in the 60s, they weren't good at, you know, DNA evidence wasn't a thing, so, I mean, they weren't keeping things like they should, you know. It was you think the LAPD looked bad during the OJ trial. I would imagine if they had called in the cops that handled all the evidence from the Zodiac killing stuff, they'd be like, really? You handled this with your hands? Like, I feel like there'd be some really bad collection of evidence back then, because again, you know, they didn't know that they could. There wasn't the ways to determine where the shit came from as opposed to now. Yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, it's pretty interesting to think that perhaps perhaps we will, you know, there's a slim chance. I feel like there's a slim chance we could find the Zodiac. I'm doubtful that it'll ever happen, but there's, you're saying there's a chance. It's like Dumb and Dumber, like a million to one. So you're saying there's a chance. I'm excited. You're saying there's a chance. Yeah, anyway, yeah. I wish I would have bothered to remember like the victims' names and stuff and being a little bit more. I really do enjoy true crime stuff, but I'm not that into it. Like if I just happen to, mainly it's like if I see that like Amazon or fucking Netflix, whatever, has like a decent true crime on, you know, doc on, I'm like, fuck yeah, let's get some true crime on. Let's get some true crime on. I want to see some shit. And, you know, that's, you know, a popular one is like, oh, it's a new Zodiac. It looks like it's possibly decent. And, but I haven't like read Zodiac books and like have gone like full crazy about it. But yeah, there's this fucking website is just, looks like it's just got everything on it though. I mean, anything you want to know about fucking Zodiac seems to be on here. There's the ciphers. Man, I do believe like all of them have been deciphered at this point. Which I mean, there's. From what I understand, like the biggest obstacle of cracking the ciphers was just the fact that he was terrible at spelling. That made it that much harder. But there is a there's all kinds of stuff on ZodiacKillerFacts.com. So if you want to go down that rabbit hole, there is plenty of shit to see on here. It's hard to say with some of that stuff though, with like the ciphers. Supposedly the Zodiac calling into the TV show. I don't remember what broadcast it was. I'm feeling, you know, there's a good chance that wasn't actually Zodiac calling. And there was just somebody just pretending to be the Zodiac and calling into the TV show. But, you know, it's possible. It's possible. It could be, could have been, could have been. We'll never know. Especially if the fucker's dead already. You can't just confirm nor deny. Watching that broadcast, though, and listening to that voice, I'm thinking that's not really the Zodiac. I'm just going to say whoever the fuck called into that TV show, I'm going to say it probably wasn't Zodiac. Although, you know, these serial killers, they like to take credit for shit. Like to take credit. Going to say that's not it, though. But I guess I'm good for the night. I don't know that I need to go further down the rabbit hole of Zodiac, especially since I don't remember a lot of the details. I didn't come prepared. So I guess, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.